Today's daf is Kiddushin Kaf Dalet, reasonably short daf. We're going to start at Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. Maybe we'll just review from the two dots in the middle. We'll go through that quickly. I charted it out, and then we'll get to how that relates to where we're leading into today. Refuash the mother Torah, but Dino, Savram Shimon Ben Chana, Carmela Banim, Orly Pnei Baruch, Frida Chaim, Al Gester Batsipor, Daniel Ben Mirma Chai, Ruth Yosef Ben Rachel, Bat Rivka, Rafael Yeshua Falak Ben Brachabatia, Yelmer Bat Chai, Rina Chai, Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Tali Rachel, Bat Tamar, Sarah, Alexander, Zizkin Ben Menucha, Lulanish Machana, Bat Tatar, Reza, Bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov, Halevi Umela. Okay. We saw yesterday that there was a machloket in the mission between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, whether you can, the Eved Kanani can be acquired, he can acquire his freedom with money, either al yedei acherim or dafka al yedei atzmo. And we said the chachamim who said al yedei atzmo also agreed, also al yedei acherim. Okay, there was a three-way machloket, but right now we're going to focus on Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. So again, to repeat, Rabbi Meir says it's kesef al yedei acherim, only other people, because the assumption is the eved has no money of his own. And chachamim say either al yedei acherim or by himself, his own money, which we're going to see what this is. Well, not his own money exactly, but kesef al yedei atzmo, but they had a caveat at the end of the Mishnah, bivad shiyehe ha-kesef mishel achirim, under the condition that the money was someone else's money. So now we suggested, okay, we'll read it quickly inside from the two dots. Nema b'hacha mipalge, we're trying to figure out what exactly is the root of the machloket. To Rabbi Meir savar, ein kinyan le'eved b'lo rabo, ve'ein kinyan le'isha b'lo bahala. Rabbanan savar, yesh kinyan le'eved b'lo rabo, ve'yesh kinyan le'isha b'lo bahala. That would be a very simple understanding. That Chachamim say he can acquire money by someone, so if someone gives him money, it can be just, it's earmarked for him, it can be his, and it doesn't go straight to his adon, and he can use that money. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, any money that goes to him automatically goes to him. The problem with saying that, I think, and this is why I think Rabbi didn't think that this was the case, or he quotes in the name of Rav Sheshet, is that most people were of the opinion that ein kinyan le'eved below ba'alo, below rabo. So therefore, Amar Rabba, that can't be the reason for the machloket. Amar Rav Sheshet, dekule alma ein kinyan le'eved below rabo, ein kinyan le'isha below ba'ala. They can't acquire things without it going directly to the husband. We've seen this before with the woman's property. That's her nichse melu, right? That it comes to her, say she inherits something, but he has rights to her payroad, right? To all the proceeds of that property. So therefore, it goes to him. Again, not fully, but it does somewhat belong to him. And therefore, hacha b'mayaskina, and de'aknele acher mana, someone else gives him 100, I'm giving you this money under the condition that he doesn't have reshut. And then we'd say, Rabbi Meir Savar, ki amrle knei, kane eved kane rabo. If he had said acquire this money, so it would have gone straight to the adon. If he says al minat, that's a useless statement, okay? Lo klum kamar. The Rabbanan Savre, and that's why again he thinks that the eved can't have his own money. But Rabbanan Savre, that in this case, kevan da amrle al minat, ahane le tnei. Yes, the halacha is it automatically goes to the adon, but if he makes this condition that your adon can't have reshut to this money, it will work. The Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says, no, I disagree with you. In other words, anything he acquires, even if he says menashe in the rabcha reshupo, there's no meaning to that statement. But what was the case? Hacha b'mayaskina, kigon da'aknele acher mane, v'amale amanacha tetzebo l'cheirut. He gave him money specifically earmarked for the purposes of freeing him. And he said, this money is your freedom money. In which case, right, we can see that almost you view him as almost a shaliach of the person, and it never goes through the eved at all. And that's why he says, so again, Rabbi Meir savar ki amar leknei kane eved kane rabbi. Rabbi Meir, again, will always hold, it's always going to go to the adon. Ki amar le amanat lo klum ka amar le. But Rabbanan Savre, Lidide Nami Halo Maknele, Dehalo Amrle Ella al Minacha Tetzebo Lecherut. He thinks in that case it works because he was never Makne the money to the slave. So now we're going to say, so again, I want to make sure this is all clear. So according to Rabbi Meir, Al Minat will never work. And according to Chachamim, I'm now going to simplify it, okay, if you look down at the second chart. So I just wrote very simply. According to Rabbi Meir, Almanat doesn't work. And according to Chachamim, Almanat will work. Now this is going to contradict the sugya about Pidyon Maaser Sheni. We've learned this before. When you take your Maaser Sheni, that's your fruits, the fruits that are supposed to go to Yerushalayim, you flip it onto a coin. And when you flip it onto a coin to take to Yerushalayim, you have to be Mosif the Chomesh. Except in which case, I don't know if you remember this, if somebody else is Pode your fruits, in other words, he's Pode someone's fruits that aren't his, if he does the Pidyon with someone else's money, basically, someone else does it for him, that person doesn't have to add the Chomesh. Okay? So now we're going to have a case of a wife and a husband, that the wife does the Pidyon, and the question is, are they considered two separate entities, so to speak, for this or not? Now, obviously, they really, you know, if we say the wife's money is the husband's money, well, then obviously they're the same person. So let's follow inside, and we're going to see. It's going to be a very simple case, but then the Gemara is going to say, well, it can't be this case because that doesn't make any sense. So, Gemara is going to say here, Rami d'Rabbi Meir d'Rabbi Meir v'Rami d'Rabbanan d'Rabbanan. If we take this other braita about the Maaser Sheni, we're going to see that Rabbi Meir has an opposite approach to the approach he has here, and Chachamim have the opposite approach to the approach they have here. So, d'Tanya, Ein isha podeh Maaser Sheni below Chomesh. A woman can't redeem the Maaser Sheni. Now, here it doesn't say of her husband, okay? The assumption is going to be that it's her husband's. A woman can't be podeh Maaser Sheni without adding Chomesh. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Okay, here we're going to see Rabbi Meir's opinion in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which is interesting because he appears, remember, as a third opinion in our Mishnah, but that's irrelevant here. He passes down in the name of Rabbi Meir, Isha Podeh Maaser Sheni below Chomesh. Okay, a woman doesn't have to do Maaser Sheni with Chomesh, doesn't have to add the Chomesh. So the Gemara is going to say, Hey Chidami, what's this case of this woman being Podeh Maaser Sheni that there's some opinion she doesn't have to add the Chomesh? If you're going to say it was the husband's money and it was the husband's maaser, well, obviously that can't be the case, right? If she's podeh her husband's maaser with her husband's money, right? She's obviously being a shliach of the husband, in which case she'd obviously have to pay the chomesh. His maaser, his money. If you want to say that she's using her own money, and his maaser, right? She's maasering his fruits with her money. Ish amar rachmana velo isha. Okay, here the pasuk says that the ish has to do maaser, and not the isha, which means that she's considered like a different person, basically. In other words, if she's using her own money to be podeh his maaser, then what happens? She definitely doesn't need to pay the chomesh. Meaning that one opinion is going to be problematic, right? The opinion of Chachamim that says that she has to do Chomesh doesn't make any sense. Because the Pasuk says Ish. If you look in Rashi, it says, Ish mi masro amar rachmana, velo isha mi master bala, di isha ka acher damya. He says a woman would be considered like somebody else if she took her money, his property, right? Even though we think of right joint accounts and all that, right? The assumption here is if she has her own money and she's using it for his things, then obviously she doesn't need Chomesh. So therefore, the opinion of Chachamim doesn't make any sense. So it can't be that. In other words, each case we say, either definitely she needs to do the Chomesh, or she definitely doesn't have to do the Chomesh. So how could there be a machloket? So therefore, they're going to say, El alav, ki agavne, is it not this way? Which way is it going to be? Just like what we just described, according to Rabbi Elazar. De'achne la acher maneh, somebody gives her a maneh, Ve'amarla, and he says to her, Al minat shetiftibo et ha-maser. So some third party, who's not the husband, comes on and says, take this money and be podeh the maser with this money. Okay? And if so, what are we going to say? So now how do the shitot work? So if you say, okay, you can look at the chart now. If you say like Rabbi Meir, the shapo de maser sheni below chomesh, then what do you say? Well, he gave her the money, Almanat that she'll do the pidyon, right? In which case, what are you going to say? The almanat works, in which case the money becomes hers to do the pidyon for his property, right? And she doesn't need to do the chomesh. But if you say almanat doesn't work, then he gave the money for her to do the pidyon. Yeah, wait, so something doesn't make sense there. One second.
If the almanat doesn't work, then
right, because then according
money,
to...
And then she right. has to do the chomesh.
Right, so one second. No, because if almanat works, then it would be someone else giving the money. So, one second. Oh, Right, because he gave her the money, and as soon as she... Right, this isn't nichsin beluga purse. He gave her the money, and as soon any money that a woman acquires becomes her husband's automatically. So if you say the almanat doesn't work, then what do you assume? When this man gave money to the woman to be poda, the husband's maser, he didn't say, I'm giving you this money specifically for you, that it not so your husband does never shouldn't it. He gave her the money to be poda, the maser of her husband. So as soon as she gets the money, if you say almanat doesn't work, the money automatically goes to the husband, in which case you'd obviously have to do the pidyon chomesh. Okay? So that's why chachamim say, they say almanat doesn't work, and therefore she needs to add the chomesh. Okay, so what we're saying is that when it says very simply, "Eini shapo demaser sheni below chomesh," or Rabbi Meir says, "Ishapo demaser sheni below chomesh," it's a case where someone gave her money specifically on condition that she be poda the maser. If we say the condition works, then it's as if someone else is being poda the maser, in which case there's no chomesh. If you say that almanat doesn't work, then what would you say? That the money automatically goes to her, which automatically goes to the husband, in which case it becomes the husband's money that she's using to do the pidyon, in which case he would have to add the chomesh. So that's how we understand the machloket right now, in which case, again, look at the second chart on the page. According to Rabbi Meir, in the Eved Kanani case, it's kesef al yidei acherim, can't be by the Eved because almanat doesn't work. And Rabbi Meir here says that in the case where he said almanat shetivdivo et hamaser, right, almanat will work. And therefore, it's an absolute contradiction. And again, Chachamim say the opposite. There, kesef al yidei atzmo would work, because almanat would work. And here, he says the woman can't redeem this money without adding the chomesh, meaning she has to add the chomesh. Why does she have to add the chomesh? Because the almanat doesn't work. Okay, so basically, you have to remember that what did they do? They took this very simple braita that didn't say exactly what complicated case it was talking about, and they said it's talking about this very complicated case, you know, or very... You know, unique case where someone's makneh the money almanat shetivdivo et hamaser, and that was because they couldn't understand it in any other way, right? It didn't make sense according to the simple reading, because either obviously you do it with chomesh or obviously you don't do it with chomesh. So they couldn't come up, right? Either it's the woman taking the husband's money, in which case definitely needs chomesh, or the woman taking her own money, in which case it wouldn't need chomesh. So therefore, they say this is the case. But that contradicts. So now we're going to have two approaches. One is to say, okay, the very simple, amar bae, ipuch. The shitot are mixed up, okay? Switch the shitot. I believe they're talking about switching the shitot in the pidyon case, okay, and the braita about the pidyon. Switch the shitot, right, because first of all, braitot are more likely to have gotten confused rather than the Mishnah. Switch it so it doesn't contradict our Mishnah, very simply, okay? So you thought that Isha Podem Aser Sheni Below Chomesh was Rabbi Meir, it's really Chachamim, okay? We've seen this before, where they say the way it was passed down was just a mistake. But the other approach is to go back and say, wait a minute, maybe it wasn't referring to specifically this case. Maybe it was talking about a different case altogether. Now we're going to say that it wasn't. Remember at the beginning, what did I say? It says, Eina isha podem aser sheni b'lo chomesh. It never talks about her husband. Right? They assumed if they were talking about a woman, it related to her husband. Now they're going to say she's actually trying to be poda her own stuff. Now what's her own stuff? Okay, her own stuff is things she got in inheritance. So let's see. Rava Amar, so Rava disagrees with the Bai. He doesn't think we should switch the shitot. La'olam lo tipuch. Don't switch them. V'hacha, you just misunderstood the case. I can come up with another case that this machloka could exist. De'amar, sorry, I lost my place. De'amar mas, no. V'hacha b'maser de'ata mibein nasha askinan. This is maser sheni that she inherited from her father's property. Her father died. Left Maser Sheni, she inherited the property, right? Let's say there were no sons. She inherits the property, and she inherits it as Maser Sheni already. So Rabbi Meir Lita'ame de Amar. Now, what should normally happen with this money? Things she gets in inheritance are called Nichse Malug. What happens to Nichse Malug? They're owned by her, but the husband has rights to them. So in theory, what would you say? Well, it should go to the husband, in which case it belongs to the husband, right? The husband should have to pay the Maser Sheni, in which case the pidyon is going to be, again, the same issue we had before. So what are we going to say here? There's something unique here about Maser Sheni. What is it? That inheritance that comes through Maser Sheni. So again, normal inheritance is going to basically go somewhat to the husband, not fully, but somewhat to the husband. V'Rabbi Meir l'ta'amei da'amar. So remember, what does Rabbi Meir say? She doesn't need to add chomesh. So he's the more unique shita. What does he say? Maser mamon hekdeshu. V'lo kane le'ba'al. They say that when what happens, the money was master sheni when it belonged to the father. Then it goes down in inheritance to the daughter. But what she inherited wasn't mamon hedyot, it was mamon hektesh. In which case, the husband doesn't get rights to it. He gets rights to all her other property that came in inheritance as nichsim belug, again, not fully, but partially. But that doesn't go to her husband because it already belongs to the hektesh. V'rabbanan l'ta'amayhu d'amre mamon hedyotu v'kane le'bal hilkach shlichuta d'bal ka'avda. Okay, he says, no, the rabbis went according to their shita, which is the mamon, the maser is mamon hedyot. Maser, you could see why it goes both ways. Because on the one hand, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. On the other hand, you eat it yourself. So it doesn't exactly, it's not the same as hektesh, like a korban that you can't eat, let's say, an ola. Okay, so there's a machloket about it, and this machloket has nothing to do with our issue. It's a totally separate thing. It's all about money that she gets in inheritance. That is Maser Sheni. Does it go, is it assumed that it's already belonging to Hektesh, in which case the woman stays, it belongs only to her, it never goes to the husband, because it's not money he can, acquire from her. Or do we say, no, it's Mamon Hedyot, in which case it goes to the husband, in which case he needs to pay the Chomesh. Okay, so if you say it never goes to him, then there's no Chiyuv of Chomesh. Okay, end of that sugya. Moving on to a new one. Tana. Yotzei b'shem v'ayim v'rashei evarim she'enam chuzrim. Okay, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, so let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we're so far back, I must be missing it. Yeah, the Mishnah's on page Kafbet and Mubet. Okay, so what does it say? Eved Knani nikne b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka v'konet atzmo b'kesef al-yidei acherim v'b'shtar al-yidei atzmo. Okay? So now they're going to say, wait, there's another way that he's konatzmo, right? Yotzei b'shem v'ayin v'rashei evarim she'enam chuzrim. He goes out b'shem v'ayin, right? Meaning, if you knock out his tooth or knock out his eye. Remember, we saw those psukim in the Torah. Okay? We should actually read the psukim in the Torah. So I didn't bring it on the sheet.
It's on the bottom of the page.
But it's on the bottom of the page, yeah? Okay, I don't have it there. Yeah, okay. Right, so it's on the, if you have the Torah, or it appears on the next page. V'ki yake ish et ein avdo o et ein amato. Okay, focus on this pasuk. If you hit your eved, okay, we're going to have again this klalu pratu klal. You're going to hit the eved, okay, which is the klal, but what are you going to hit? Ein avdo or shein avdo. It gives you two particular examples. Ein avdo, ein amato. Sorry, here it just says the ayin. V'shichata, and he destroys it. L'chofshi yishachenu tachareinu. He goes free in place of his eye. But there's also a pasuk. Yeah, need a Tanakh. What? Nim shen avdo shen amato. It must be the next pasuk. Okay, it just doesn't appear here. Here, just show it to me and I'll read it. Okay. Ve'im shen avdo shen amato yapir l'chofshi yishachenu tachat shino. Okay, that's the next pasuk. So ayin and shen appear in the pasuk. We're going to see that rashi varim don't appear in the pasuk. Okay, so now what are they going to say here? So yotzei b'shem v'ayin v'rashi varim she'enam chuzrim. Not only shem v'ayin, like it says in the pasuk, but also any rashi evarim that won't return to themselves. What are rashi evarim exactly? Okay, so there's a whole Rashi says there's kaf dalid, and they're listed in negaim. Okay, it's like your fingers, your arms, your like different parts of your body, like tips of extremities of your body. And what they're saying here is, if you cut them off, or they get destroyed, and they won't grow back, they won't regenerate. So now they're going to say Bishlam Hashem v'Ayin K'tive. So very simply, right? The pasukim we read said Shein and Ayin, but Rashi Varim Minalam. Where do we learn Rashi Varim from? So what do they say? Dumia d'Shein v'Ayin. Ma Shein v'Ayin Mumim shebegaloi ve'enam chozrim. Av kol Mumim shebegaloi ve'enam chozrim. What type of Mumim are we talking about? Ones that people can see, and they won't regenerate, and therefore anything like that, which would be the same as Rashi Varim, right? They're at the extremities, so you see them. Okay, you cut off someone's finger, you're going to see it. And if they don't regenerate, just like if you take out someone's eye or tooth, it's not going to grow back. Ve'ema, why don't we say, Nihavi Shem Va'ayin, now we're going to get into all our drasha devices. Okay, why don't we say that shem va'ayin are kishnik tuvim habeim kechad? Because shnik tuvim habeim kechad em alamdim. Do you remember this concept? If the Torah specifies it in two different instances, usually it means those two and nothing else. Otherwise, it would either say one, and from one you'd learn to all other things that are similar, or it would say many, and it would give you the list of all the things. So the assumption, if it says two, that already it's adding more things. And the base assumption of this, because it could be two, it could be three. In other words, sorry, I was saying it a little bit not right. If it's one, then you could be bonet av to so many things. So it should have just said shame, and then you would have known anything like that, or ayin, and you would have known. Once it specifically specifies another item, it seems to be saying just these two and nothing else. Or some people say, shnei ketuvim ba'im ke'echad still can be bonet av to all sorts of other cases, but once you have three already, well then three is already saying only these three. So there's a whole machloket in general about whether it's two, or whether you need already three to say, oh, now we can't learn because already it's specified three. But anyway, they're suggesting here, why don't we say this is the case of Shnei Ketuvim Habeim Ke'echad, and those who say that Eim Alamdim would say, you know, we shouldn't learn to Rashi Evarim. So they say, no, it's Shricha. De'i Katav Rachman Hashen, we need, now we're going to say, okay, this is an interesting, I don't recall coming across this before, that it, to reject a Shnei Ketuvim Habeim Ke'echad, we can say that each one needs to be there for a particular reason, meaning that they're not there to say it's exclusively these two. It's that if you had just said Shane, you wouldn't have learned Ayin. If you had just had Ayin, you wouldn't have learned Shane. Therefore, Shane and Ayin both appear, but you can still be bonet av to all sorts of other cases. So, like Rashi Evarim, which is what we want to teach. So now they're going to explain why. To eat Katav Rachman Hashen, if you just had the Shane, Hava Amina, you might have thought even a baby tooth. Katav Rachmana Ayin, and therefore it added Ayin. V'i Katav Rachmana, in other words, to teach you that it's not Shein Chalav, right? A Shein Chalav that's going to grow back, so obviously you're not responsible for. V'i Katav Rachmana Ayin, Hava Amina, Ma Ayin Shenivraimo, Av Kol Shenivraimo, Aval Shein Lo, Tzricha. This is a good, right? A difference between a shein. You're not born with a shein. So you could say, oh, who says shinayim are so critical? Here, you're not even born with them. So there you see, they're not. So you might have thought, and therefore it adds shein to teach you, no, a shein is critical. Just because you're not born with it doesn't mean that it's not important. Now we're going to suggest, okay, fine. We have shein, we have ayim, we understand now, you can't say shein ketuvim ba'im ke'echadim alamdim because these two were necessary, each one to teach you something unique about each one, but we still should be able to learn from here to all other cases. Now, what did we say about all other cases? What's similar about Shein Ba'ayin that we're now going to say everything else? That it's a mum shebegaloi ve'einam chuzrim, right? They don't reach anything. Now we're going to suggest something else. Another reason why we might not learn Rashi Evarim. Ve'ema ki ake klal. Why don't we say it's a klal upratu klal here? It started off ki ake. Okay, that's a klal. Sorry, not a klal uprat uklal right now. Now we're going to say it's a klal uprat. Shein v'ayin is prat. When we have a klal uprat, what do we say? Ein bichlal ela masha biprat. Right? Whenever you have a klal and then a prat, you say that the prat is coming to exclude. It's coming to say it's only things that are like the prat. Shein v'ayin in midi achrina lo. Therefore, only masha biprat. Like shein v'ayin and not anything else. But now, okay, so now we're going to say, wait, but it's more than a klal uprat, because it's a klal uprat uklal, like I said before. Where's the klal? Lachofshi yishalchenu, chazar v'kalal, right? Now it added at the end, lachofshi yishalchenu, he'll go free, which sounds like, in general, he'll go free. So that's a klal type of statement. Therefore, chazar v'kalal, so it had started with a klal uprat, you might have thought it's only like the prat, but then it added the klal. But now, what are they going to say? Klal upratu klal. What do we say when we have a klal upratu klal? Iyatadan ela ke'en haprat. It has to be really like the prat. Now we're going to say, if you look at what really defines shein v'ayin, we're going to see that there's unique things about it that aren't in anything else. Maha prat mefurash mum shebegaloi ve'enam chozrim. Af kol mumim shebegaloi ve'enam chozrim. So first, they're going to suggest, like we said before, right, that it's mum shebegaloi ve'enam chozrim. But now they say, "Ima prat miforash mumim shebegaloi ubatel mimelachto ve'eno choser." Why don't you say, "Wait, there's another thing that's unique about shein v'ayin that aren't in all these other things, which is, or aren't in Rashi Evarim, that he's batel mimelachto. He can't work if he doesn't have these things. Now, why is Shane, would you not be able to work? I didn't really think about that. If you have a toothache, right, I guess. But I don't know if it's...
The organ ceases from its function. But tell me the organ and not the person working as a
organ. That's how they understand it? One second. It's interesting, 1 second. Right. It can't function anymore, right? The tooth's purpose is to chew, right? That tooth is no longer there. You can't chew now. And the eye's purpose is to see. And without the eye there, that eye can't see. Ve'eino chozer. So, av kol mumim shebegaloi ve'eino chozer uba tel mi melachto. Okay? So, based on this, they're going to have a question. Alama tanya. So, why does it say, talash bizkano? Let's say he pulled the guy on his beard, his evet on his beard. Vidildel bo etzem, and he dislocated his jaw. Eved yotze bahen l'chirut. Okay? So now they're going to say, why would you say that? Because, I guess the assumption is the jaw, even though it's dislocated, can still function. Okay? Even though it doesn't really function so well, right? I'm trying to think.
And they add withers and falls off.
What?
Withers and falls off.
Right, the wither and fall off.
Just like hitting the bone in the jaw, that withers and falls off and does not regenerate.
But why wouldn't it?
That's the beard.
You certainly can't.
No, it says the beard and thereby the dislocated bone. Oh, they're talking about the beard.
They're talking about the jaw.
Yeah.
The jaw withers away, but I guess he can still chew with his teeth, so he doesn't necessarily need his jaw.
No.
Not sure how they exactly get that. So the assumption is here that. However, exactly this, whatever exactly this case is that they said it's still attached. Rashi says it's mechubar babasar, and it's still attached. So it's just like dislocated. It's just in a different place. So you could still use it, but it's not in its proper place. So that you would say he shouldn't go free because it can still function. I don't know exactly the reality of the case. But the assumption is he could still function, and therefore, why does he go free? So now they say, so it can't be that it's a klalu pratu klal, because a klalu pratu klal, remember we talked about the riboy miyud and riboy, and the klalu pratu klal? So the klalu pratu klal is much more exclusionary. It takes only things that are really exactly like the items that were in the pasuk, whereas the riboy miu v'riboy, we say it's chazar v'riban, it adds in more things. It's a more inclusive type of limud. So that's what they're going to say now. They're going to say, l'chofshiya shalchenu, ribuyahu, v'i ribuyahu. It's a riboya, okay? And therefore they're saying, right, I think at this point they're going to say, therefore it would include more items. It's going to include even something that's not batel mimelachto. It's going to include even the case of the rashi evarim. So now they're going to say, v'i ribuyahu, if you're already saying it's going to include lots more things, so afilu hikau al yadov et samtav et sofo lachzor, why don't you say, if he hits him on his hand and his hand dries up, withers, but it will eventually regenerate, so maybe you should also say then, in other words, if we're already being mirabeh, why don't you be mirabeh even more things? Alama tanya, and why does it say, hikau al yadov et samtav et sofo lachzor ein evid yotzei bo lachirut, right? So now they're going to say, well, im kein shein ba'ayin ma'ahanele. In other words, there was a reason why they brought shein ba'ayin. In other words, this is always the balance. A riboy mi of a riboy in merabe other things, but again, it has to be somewhat similar to the shein ba'ayin. Okay, so therefore, they're going to give this in between, where it's similar that it's both mumim shebegaloyin and am chozrim, but when it comes to the issue of batel mi melachtam, that they don't function in their proper way anymore, that we're not going to assume. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Now what happens when the Eved, when this happens? Okay, we're going to see, does the Eved go free and he doesn't even need to get Shechura? What happens? Remember what happens with an Eved. When he goes free, what happens to him? He becomes a full-fledged Jew. Now generally we say in order for him to become a Jew and be able to marry a Bat Israel, that's our big nafgamina, then he needs to get shechur. So what if your Eved leaves in this way, that you hit him, does he need to get shechur? Or is his shechur, based on the fact that you hit him and is knocked out a tooth, he automatically is allowed to marry a Bat Yisrael even without a get shechur? So we're going to see a machloket about this. Tana Rabbanan, Bekulam, Eved Yotzeban, Lechiru, Betzarich, Get Shechor, Diver Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir Omer, Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Tzarich. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Tzarich. Okay, you can see there was a whole debate. Everyone had an opinion about this, whether you need to or don't need to get Shechor. Hamachri'im lefnei chachamim. Okay, those who tried to make a decision about things in front of chachamim, omrim, nir'im divrei Rabbi Tarfon b'shem ba'ayin, shatora zichtalo, v'divrei Rabbi Akiva b'sharei varim, ho'il uknas chachamim hu. They say, since we have this big machloket and we don't know who to paskin like, right, what seems clear here, as opposed to many other cases, there's usually the majority opinion and the dat yachid. Here, there was no majority opinion. So what did they say? Let's do very simply. Let's say we're going to accept Rabbi Tarfon that you don't need a get shechor in a case that the Torah explicitly said it, shein v'ayin. Okay, now, in other words, until now, we had this drasha, and we assumed that all these other things are exactly like shein v'ayin. Now they're going to say, wait, because those things are learned out from a drasha, and the others are explicit in the pasuk, we're going to treat them differently. If already we have a machloket, so what are we going to say? Shein v'ayin shatorah zichtalo. The Torah said you go free with shein v'ayin. So therefore he goes free entirely. He doesn't need to get shechor. But divrei Rabbi Akiva b'sharei varim ho'il uknas chachamim hu. Because it's a knas that the chachamim added, chachamim said we're kones the owner, but it's not sufficient enough since the Torah didn't say it, we're going to make him do a get shechor. So now they say, knasu? What do you mean it's a knas, chachamim? Cry kadarshina. We learned it out directly from a pasuk. Okay, so now they always have this issue with the yugim umido chataran adresha by him. There's all different ways of, does that mean that any halacha learned out from one of the yugim umido is a d'oraita halacha because you're learning it from a pasuk? Or do you say it's a d'rabbanan that's learned out from a pasuk? In other words, maybe it's like a higher level d'rabbanan because it comes directly from a pasuk, but it's still a d'rabbanan. So here you have a case where they said it's chachamim, but then the Gemara says, what are you talking about, it's chachamim? It says, we learn it out directly from a pasuk. So there's always this in-between thing about how exactly you view these things. So what do they say? Elaho ilu midrash chachamim hu. Okay, so they view it as it's a midrash chachamim. Okay, it's not, it's from the Torah, but it's a drasha. So it's like this in-between. So therefore, they're going to view that and say, well, in that case, you need to get shechor. My time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that you need to get shechor? Yalef shiluach shiluach mi'isha. What did it say? Lachofshi yishalchenu. Right? And what did it say about the woman? Vishilcha mi'beita. So, what did we say? Ma'isha b'shtar, af eved nami b'shtar. So, specifically, when it talks about that he goes free, there's the lashon of you have to send him free. So he says, how do you send someone free? Just like with the woman. You send her free with the get. You send the eved free with the get. It doesn't mean he's free entirely by virtue of the fact that you knocked out his tooth. No, you have to free him. You have to do something to free him. Rabbi Meir, I katav chofshi levasof kideka amarta. He darshens the order of the pasuk. It says, lachofshi yishalchenu tacharenu. So he says, it says, lachofshi yishalchenu. If it had said, yishalchenu chofshi, then it would mean you have to set him free, okay? And therefore, it would mean you have to set him free by giving him a shtar. But, ha shedichiv lachofshi yishalchenu, what is it telling you? Havale chofshi meikara. The chofshi precedes the word yishalchenu to say he's automatically free, okay? And therefore, he darshens the order of the words and says it doesn't mean you need to send him with a shtar. Tana Rabbanan, hikau aleinu, Usma'a. Alozno v'chersha. Eved yotze behen l'chirut. Okay, if you hit him on his eye, you blind him, you hit him on his ear and you make him go deaf, the eved goes free. Neged eino ve'eino ro'eh. K'neged ozno ve'eino shomea. Ein eved yotze behen l'chirut. If you smack him in a place next to his eye and then he goes blind, but you didn't smack him on his eye, or you smacked him near his ear, like you made a big loud boom right next to his eye, and it caused his eye to go blind. Why did that happen? The assumption is out of shock, right? He got shocked from what you did, okay, from the noise or something, and it shocked him into the state of, you know, where all of a sudden he just goes deaf out of shock, okay, or blind. So neged eino ve'eino ro'eh, k'neged ozno ve'eino shomea, ein eved yotzei behen l'chirut. Amar Rav Shemuel Rav Ashi, lemeimer dekala lav klumhu. Are you trying to say that a noise is not considered something significant? Like here you made this loud bang, it caused the guy to go deaf. And we just said he doesn't go free. You're trying to say that it's not, it doesn't mean anything? V'hatani Rambam Bar Yecheskel brings a case. Tarnagol shehoshit rosho la'avir klei zchuchit v'takabo. A tarnagol puts his head inside a glass jar and he blows inside it. Ushvaro. Mishalem nezek shalem. Okay, if you have a tarnagol and your tarnagol went, stuck his head inside a glass jar of somebody else's, and he made this loud noise, and it caused all the glass to break, right? This is like the opera singers, right? And all the glass jars start. That's what it's saying, right? If an opera singer starts singing and breaks someone's glass stuff, right? You're obligated. So the owner has to pay nezek shalem. And here's another case. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Bei Rav, sus shetzanaf v'chamor shena'ar. Okay, again, they made a loud noise. Ushivru kelim b'toch habayit mishamim chatzi nezek. Okay, they pay half damages. Okay, why is one whole and one is half? That's because there's a machloket about it. I don't think the Gemara talks about this. I don't remember. If it doesn't, we'll go back to it. Amarle shane adam dekevan debar da'atu ihu mevayit nafshe. What's the case here? How is it different from the jars, from the glass jars? When someone sings loud or makes a loud noise and it causes glass jars to break, okay, or a tarnagol or some animal, so he caused the jars to break, right? It wasn't no outside factor other than his noise that he made, right? The animal's noise caused the jar to break. But if I make a loud smash next to your eye and that causes you to go into a state of shock, and then you get blinded because of it, or you go deaf because of it, that's you as the person had an effect on that. In other words, it's not like a glass jar, which is an inanimate object and just breaks from your voice. But this person, ihu mevayit nafshe, he let himself get panicked by it. Okay, this is an interesting assumption that the person has control over his, you know, reaction to this, and it's not the bang that caused it, it's his reaction to it, and therefore you're not fully responsible. Okay, whereas by the animal you're responsible. Kiditanya, and here we're going to see. Hamavit et chaveiro patur midinei adam v'chayav b'dinei shamayim. Okay, here's a braita that says, if you scare and shock your friend into causing himself damages, you're patur midinei adam, you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. In other words, you're not totally not responsible, but you're not chayav b'dinei adam. Ketzad, here's the case. Takaba ozno v'chersho, patur. Right, if you blow in his ear and you make him go deaf, you're patur. Achazehu v'takaba ozno. Right, if you just blew near his ear and he went blind, you're patur. But if you grabbed his ear and blew inside of it, then v'chersho you be chayav. Okay, but if you just did it near it, then you're not responsible. Okay, that has to do with regular damages, not having to do with the eved. Okay, the issue with the chatzi nezek and the nezek shalem, I think they were two different opinions. One thinks you're fully responsible, one thinks you're, that wasn't our issue. Our issue was just, is there responsibility or not? The other is a machloket about whether it's chatzi nezek or nezek shalem, and each one was taught by someone else who had a different opinion about it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, hikau aleinu v'kahata, al shino v'nadida. Okay, let's say you hit his eye and it starts going bad, right? He doesn't go fully blind. Or you knock his tooth and it starts being wobbly. If it's still functional, then he doesn't go free. Okay, so again, if it's not functional anymore, then he goes free. Tanya idach, hareshai ta'ino kihuya usma'o. Here's another case. What if he already was partially blind? It wasn't really working so well, but it was still in the socket. Okay? Where his tooth wasn't really working well, but it was still in place. And then you knocked it out. This sounds a little similar to the case of the 10 guys who kill someone or who rape, you know, that they 10 guys beat someone up. And then, you know, which guy is responsible? Because it's the first one. Right, exactly. So here, it's not exactly the same, but it's that it already was not in its place. It wasn't in great shape to begin with. So, im yachol lishtamesh bem kvar, eved yetzah bem lechirut. If it was usable before, and then you made it unusable, even though you didn't do very much, right? But if you caused it, you were the one who made the switch from it being functional to non-functional, then he goes free. V'imav ein eved yotzeh bem lechirut. Utsricha. And you need to tell both cases, okay? Both the case where he started off at 100% and then you brought him to, you know, a much lower level without actually knocking it out but caused him to be non-functional. and the case where he started off not super functional and you cause it to be non-functional. If you only had the first one, right? You might have thought you took a guy who was buried, you turned him into a weaker, right? And that's why he goes free. But you might have thought the second guy already wasn't so strong to begin with, so maybe not. If you had the second case, what might you have thought? Because in that case, you've totally knocked it out. But in the first case, the eye is still there, it just doesn't work, right? Emalo, you might have thought you're not responsible. Tzricha. Okay, now we get into a very interesting case. Tana Rabbanan, Haresha Haya Rabo Rofe. Let's say, okay, here this gets into medical issues. Let's say, from here you can jump to malpractice suits and all sorts of things, okay? Again, most of those, you can go from here, but they're not exactly connected here, but anyway, it's related. Let's say the Adon was his doctor, right? Or let's say, right, he just figured, I'll save the money. I won't go to someone else. I'll do the procedure myself. I kind of know what I'm doing. So but he was a doctor, okay? Rabbo was a rofe. Va'amar lo l'kol lo eino. And he said, can you fix my eye? You know, I have a problem with my eye. Can you take care of it? And in the process of doing that, what happened? Usma'a, and he blinded him. Lachtor lo shino. Okay, now notice the Eved said, "Va'amar lo l'kol lo eino." Right? He said, "Also, I want you to fix my tooth." V'hi pilan, he knocks it out. Okay, so this is clear malpractice, right? But well, again, not clear malpractice. We don't know, right? Malpractice is always a function. Was it his fault? Was it not his fault? Right? And here, the Eved, right here, you think of the Adon. In this case, you know, he thinks, "I'll save myself. I'll do it myself." But in the end, it harms him because he loses his Eved. Sichek ba'adon v'yatzal l'chiru. Tanakama says, this guy, okay, however you explain this, sichek ba'adon, but this guy kind of played his cards right, and he got free. Now, of course, he doesn't have an eye or doesn't have his tooth, but he goes free. Rashban gomer, v'shichata, if you remember the pasuk, what did it say? There was this extra word. Ki akei shetein avdo et enamato, v'shichata, and he destroyed it. Okay? Not exactly unnecessary, but you could say we could darshan it. What does it mean? Ad shicht chaven l'shachata. Unless you had kavana to destroy it. In other words, you were hitting him. The assumption is, why do we have these halachot? So that you don't hit him and abuse him. In this case, you weren't hitting him. You were trying to help him. And then something went wrong. But that's not your fault. So you need kavana. Okay, this, by the way, this is quoted in the Sugya Bava Kama, all about Adamu ala olam bein er bein yashen, that man is always responsible. We'll get to it when we get there, but also about level of responsibility. Right, I believe that's where it comes up. In Bava Kama there. In Adamu ala olam. Okay, so now, and it all talks there about damages and whether you have kavana, or do you have to have kavana to hurt someone or not? You're responsible even if you don't have kavana. The assumption there is you are, and this is a good source for it. Okay, so Rashbag says, Ad shit kaven l'shachata. So now they're going to say, V'rabanan, hai v'shichata mai avdele. What do they use it for? And now they're going to bring another case that's similar, but different. Mibayle l'chiditanya. For this brite, he uses it. What do you need to have kavana for? Not kavana to do damage, but a different kind of kavanah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Haresho Shit Yadola Me'esh Shifchato. Let's say he's going inside either to take out the baby or to maybe move the baby. You know, sometimes you have to move the baby, the baby's breached or something like that. He puts his hand inside the Me'esh Shifchato. Visime Ubar Shibime'eha. And he blinds the baby inside. Okay? Patur. Why? My time, Adamar Krav Shichata. What does it mean? It doesn't mean you have to have intent to do damage, but what does it mean? If you intended to work on the Eved's eye, and then something goes wrong and you blind him, you're responsible. But if you intended to help the Shifcha with her baby, you know, to try to move the baby, you weren't trying to deal with the baby's eye at all, and accidentally you harmed the eye of the baby, then you're responsible. Then you're not responsible. Because then you weren't even dealing with that Avar at all. Okay? That's how he understands Shichata. That you had to have intent to deal with that body part. If you weren't dealing with that body part, then you're really not responsible. If you were dealing with the body part and something went wrong, then you're responsible, even if you were trying to help. So now they're going to have the V'idach. Where does the other guy learn that halacha from? Because he uses Shichata to teach that it has to be intent to damage. Mi vishachat shichata. In other words, vishichet. It could have said vishichet. In fact, it says vishichata. I could say both. Nafka. Viidach shichet shichata lo darish. Right? He just doesn't darshan that. Okay, last line for today. Amrav sheshad areshay tayino smuya v'chitita. Evid yotze bahen l'chirut. Let's say his eye was blind, was not functional, and then he took out the eyeball. Okay? So then Evid Yotze Bahen L'chirut. My time, Mechusar Averhu. Okay? He is Mechusar Aver. In other words, he took out his Aver even if it wasn't functioning before. Okay. I think the next line's already. We'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow.
No, you should.
Oh, well, we should go on a little more? Okay, yeah, you're right. We should go on one more line. Thank you. V'tana tuna tamut v'zichrut b'behema v'ein tamut v'zichrut b'ofot. Okay, this has to do with a totally different thing. This is when it says that the behema, when you bring an ola, it has to be tamim, right, which means, I think it's a year old, right? Is that what it is? Tamim is...
Well,
no. It has to be, right, without a mum, right? That's obviously the issue. And it has to be zachar, but it says behema. So they learn, in that pasuk it says behema. So they learn it's only true for behema and not for an oaf. So if you bring an ola to oaf, that doesn't apply. Yachol yavsha. So therefore it shows that there's no problem with mumim for an oaf. But now they're going to say, yachol yavsha gapa nikta'a ragla nikhtitayna. So you might have thought, therefore, if you know, her regal falls off, or the ayin comes out, or what's the gapa, her wing, okay, dries up and doesn't function anymore, that it would be a mum. That it wouldn't be a mum, it would be okay, because we just said there's no tamut by an oaf. Tamud lomar min ha'of v'lo kol ha'of. It says v'im min ha'of, okay, which means to say that there is, and that even though we said we exclude all these things from oaf, and they're only by behema, they do have a particular inclusion that even things, and as if you really take out a whole thing, right, if you knock out the eye or take off the wing or some important part of the animal, then even though we don't really, we're not worried about balei mumim in general by an oaf, that is a mum. In other words, the min ha'oaf comes to include something. And what does it include? Min ha'oaf means from the oaf, meaning from most of the oaf, but not all of them. That's the way they're darshaning it. So therefore, how do they learn from our issue? Same thing here. In other words, if you actually take out his aver, then it's going to be a problem, even if he already couldn't see from it. Okay, taking it out is an actual, you know, that in and of itself is a major thing. Okay, finish up. There's one more little thing about the movie tomorrow. Finish it up.